Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship. Hope you've enjoyed your time of worship, hope you've chatted to one another. I always say it doesn't begin when the pastor starts to speak. It begins when we come into the Lord's house in an attitude of worship and come and give him the glory. And that's what we're going to think about today. I'm very much focused, I feel, on prayer this week. At our Bible study, we've been thinking about the prayer that Jesus gave his disciples that we now call the Lord's Prayer. And some refer to it as the disciples' prayer. And you hear me very often call it the prayer that Jesus taught us, because I believe that the Lord's Prayer, as I've said multiple times, is John chapter 17. And Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. And so it made me think about the question, what's on Jesus' prayer list? Because who's got a prayer list? Who relies on what's going on in their heads? That can get messy, can't it? But as we've been thinking, and as I say, our Bible study, that because we start prayer with our Father, it brings us into a relationship not only with God the Father, but also with one another as sisters and brothers in Christ. And it takes us away from thinking about ourselves to knowing the one that we are praying to and the one that is praying with us, but also that, as I say, that we pray with and for one another, not just in this building, but far beyond. So this morning I want to look at how Jesus prayed in John chapter 17. So you might want to open it now, which is on page 1085, I think. Yep, 1085. In your Bibles it says, Jesus prays to be glorified. In the English Standard Version it's called the High Priestly Prayer of Jesus. And we'll think a bit more about why it's called that later. But as we think about prayer this morning, and as we think about who we're praying to, as we learn how to pray like Jesus, it helps us to align our requests, our prayer requests, with God's will. And I was thinking that the last time I preached on John 17, we had a time of open prayer for what was happening in Ukraine, matter of a couple of years ago. And later on in the service, we're going to have an open time of prayer for the Israel and Gaza situation, which I think weighs heavy on most of our hearts as we see what's going on in that country. So I'll just call us to worship with a few words. Let us worship God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. We are now new creations. The old has gone, the new has come. Let us worship God as Christ's ambassadors. Through us and through our worship, may we announce the good news to all. Let us worship God in spirit and in truth. Praise God, we are reconciled, redeemed, and renewed. And as Jesus starts his prayer in front of his disciples, as we look at verses 1 to 5, he talks about wanting himself to be glorified. And I believe that we glorify Jesus in our worship. And so Jesus says, he looked towards heaven and prayed, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those that you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Wonderful words. And as we think about being chosen by God and given to Jesus, let's give thanks in our worship as we sing number 24, All Things Praise Thee, Lord Most High. So we'll come down and give our prayers of praise and thanks and confession. And then, as I said, later on in the service, we'll have a time of open prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are gathered in the name of Jesus Christ, inspired by your Holy Spirit and blessed by you. We come to worship one holy God. Our God, our own God, how wonderful is your name in all the earth, as we have just sung. Your majesty is the music of the starry skies, and we can come and sing your praises just as we are. We come and give our thanks and praise, our gratitude, that you know each one of us by name. You know us inside out. And Lord, that you inspire us to sing your praise. We come into your presence rejoicing. We come to sing your praise. We come to hear your words of power. We come to share your all-embracing love. Lord, I pray that you would be present with us in this time together, as we come to worship you, called to be your people, called to walk the way of Jesus. Lord, we come with the offering of ourselves, and we come seeking your words of peace, of comfort, but also of challenge. Living Jesus, we praise you because you show us that God is love. Love which reaches to all people. Love which does not count the cost. Love which never ends. Forgive us when we love ourselves and not you. We praise you because you are the way. You are the way to God. You lived the way we want to live. You guide us on God's way of life. Forgive us when we take our own way and not yours. We praise you because you are the truth. You are the truth about God. You show us the truth about ourselves. You show us how to live as true human beings. Forgive us when we think we know better than your truth. And we praise you because you are the life. You lived life perfectly without sin. You give us the example for life to help us to live our life to the full. Forgive us when we live for ourselves and not for you. Loving God, help us to respond to your promise and challenge of discipleship and renew in us your service. Lord, we thank you for your good news. We thank you that there is rejoicing in heaven when people turn from their sins. We thank you that through Christ our sins are forgiven. And so, Lord, I ask that you would give each one of us your strength, your power, your inspiration, that we may go from this place knowing that you are the way and the truth and the life, and that we can do all things through you, Lord, who strengthens us. We give you our thanks and praise. Amen. So let's say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So as we look at John chapter 17, we realise that over the last few chapters, 13 to 16, Jesus has been giving his last minute instructions to his closest disciples. Among his teachings were several warnings about persecution, with the encouragement of knowing that the Holy Spirit would come. And in chapter 17, as I say, in the English Standard Version, it's headed up Jesus' high priestly prayer, making requests on behalf of himself, his apostles, and future believers like each one of us. And so, as we've just heard, the first five verses, Christ begins praying for himself. But as we read those five verses, we realise that the primary purpose is that he's asking for God's will to be done. And I always draw our attention back to the Lord's Prayer, that as we know it, that we've just said. We say, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Do we mean that? Or do we mean it? "Thy will be done," if it fits in with my plans for this week. Amen. And so it's good to look at Jesus' prayers and realise where his priority and focus is. He always gives glory back to God. And as we were at Bible study, we were thinking with those two words, "Our Father," how it sets the precedent for the rest of the prayer and actually changes our whole prayer life, because the glory must always go back to God. And through that, it changes the way we pray, because it takes the attention away from us and back to God. And that benefits each one of us in the end. So as we continue in John 17, the rest of the verses, from verse 6, so it's headed up, Jesus prays for his disciples. "I have revealed you to those whom you give me out of this world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be as one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified." To sanctify means to set apart. Jesus prays for all believers. "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you in me and I am in you, May they also be in us, so that the world may believe. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father. And we'll think about that in a little while as Jesus prays for his followers. And we know in that immediate context, he was praying for the disciples that were gathered around him. Those And it's how his teaching through each of one of us who loves him will teach others about faith in him. And so as we think about how Jesus then goes on to expand his prayer to include all who will come to faith, we realise that he talks a lot about unity. And that's not only a direct command from Christ, but actually the sign of legitimate faith in him. As we think a bit more about the high priestly prayer, we recognize that Jesus is the priest. And how we can go before God on behalf of ourselves and others. And perhaps that will help us in our prayer life as we learn how to pray like Jesus. So first of all, let's sing number 133. Father, I place into your hands.
I place into your hands the things that I own.
Let's pray. As we've just sung those words, Father, I want to speak the words that you are speaking to. I want to love the ones that you will draw to you. And even as we sing those words, Lord, we think, how can we be like you? But Lord, you promise through your Holy Spirit that you will give us the words that we need in all situations and circumstances. And so we hold on to that promise now as we hear more about your word. Amen. You all right there? So, what's on Jesus' prayer list? What do you think that the word intercede means? Get involved with? You've all got your heads down now. If we're going to do prayers of intercession, we're going to intercede. So what does that mean?
Well, we're going
to intercede on behalf of others that perhaps can't do it themselves. Yeah. Yep. Anyone else? Yeah, so it's a good way, isn't it, of finding out what God wants us to do as we intercede for other people or situations.
It's to mediate as well.
To mediate, yeah. Yeah, as I said at the start, it's called the High Priestly Prayer of Jesus. And Jesus was standing there in front of his disciples, praying not only for himself, but for them and for those of us that would follow. So yeah, so the dictionary definition, you know I love a dictionary definition. It says to intervene on behalf of another, to mediate. And I think as we think about prayer is to pray, is to make our hearts really ready to experience the love of God in Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a massive statement, isn't it? Because if you think about it, we often start, I don't know how you pray, dear God, dear Jesus, our Father, Holy Spirit, whatever our prayers are. But actually, we have the blessing of being able to pray to God the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Do we forget that when we start our prayers? Do we feel a bit like, oh, as we unfold our prayer list? And say, here we go, God, it's me again. Do you actually pray? I was going to say, I'm just checking. You know, if I have to go further back to basics. Because to pray, as I said earlier, is to align our requests with God's will. And how do we know what's God's will if we don't ask him? If we don't start our prayers off in the way that would lead us to seek God's will rather than our own. As we've just read through the whole of chapter 17, it's the night of Passover. Jesus has been talking very seriously with his disciples. He knows that he's about to be arrested and a horrific chain of events are about to be set in motion. He loves his friends and he wants them to know the love of the Father as he has known it. He continues to talk to them for a while, but then he turns his face away from them towards heaven, we read. And he allows them to hear him praying to his Father. I said during Bible study in the week, how awesome it must have been to hear Jesus praying. Throughout the scripture, we see different times Jesus often went away to pray. We see a few occasions where he's there, stood in front or sitting in front or however Jesus prayed, and his disciples could hear him. And we too can hear Jesus praying because we're told through the scripture that he's praying for us now. He's praying as we're listening or not to what he has to say to us. As I said, he starts by praying for himself and then goes on to pray for his disciples. And for those down the ages, like each one of us, who will believe when we hear the message. In the true meaning of the word intercede, he stands between our Father and the friends, and he prays. Not only does John 17 give us the comfort and the encouragement of Jesus' prayers for us, but it also gives us a wonderful example of how we can and should intercede for one another. Have you ever tried to pray for someone but simply not known what to ask for? When the situation or the circumstance may just seem so overwhelming that we don't know what to say. And it's so good as we look at Jesus' prayer because he sets out the situation as he sees it. And then he proclaims what he knows of the character and the purpose of God. And then he puts the two together and then he makes his request. So his prayer for his disciples actually states the situation. He says in verse 6, I have revealed you. They have obeyed your word. Verses 7 to 8, they knew I came from you. And then in verse 11, I will remain in the world no longer. Can you imagine what a bombshell that must have been for the disciples to hear that Jesus is not hanging around any longer? He's off. And then interspersed throughout his prayer are little glimpses of who God is and what he is like. Verse 3, you are the only one true God. Verse 11, Holy Father. Verse 17, your word is truth. And verse 23, you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. And then when we see those all combined together, we have that true prayer of intercession. Verse 13, that they may have the full measure of my joy. Verse 15, protect them from the evil one. Verse 23, that they may be brought to complete unity. And then in verse 24, to be with me where I am. What a comfort to hear those prayers as Jesus prayed to the disciples, and that now we can read those through John's recollections, because it's only John that actually puts that prayer into his letter. And as we think about that, it's easy to be able to understand how you can pray despite the hard times that people are in or are yet to come. So as we're thinking about how to pray, many attribute the following quote to the renowned theologian Karl Barth, who suggested that we should preach with the Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other. Have you heard that phrase? You have, because I've said it before. Obviously, you can tell the date, can't you, with a newspaper, because most of us get our news off various other sources. But as I was thinking about that, I was thinking, you know, if I scour the news headlines and then write them all down and then pray them, that's quite depressing, isn't it? Because we know that they never report or very rarely report anything good. So it will be a whole load of intercession about bad news. And then if I add everything that I want and need, that gets a bit more heavy. And it's perhaps not the way that we should pray. And I'm not saying we shouldn't pray for things, because we're going to in a minute. But if we would only learn to intercede in the way that Jesus did, it would lift our own hearts and the hearts of those around us. Because we have to state the situation. Can you imagine if we looked at the headlines now? Political unrest, terrorism, natural disaster. But then, as we do that, bearing witness to the character and sovereignty of God, just as Jesus did, as we bring alongside those his power, his glory, his authority, his love, and his wisdom, suddenly it changes the way that we pray. Because when we put it all together, we find that faith building comfort in interceding in his name. As I was thinking about this and writing it down and listening to the news headlines, I'm thinking, well, if I did that now, what would I think about? And just then they were talking about the storm. What's its name? Babette. You know me and names. And, you know, they're on red alert in Scotland and in Derbyshire. We've seen the carnage. So, you know, it's like, well, do I know of towns and cities that are being destroyed by floods? And the answer came back straight away, yes. I love those incidences. And then we can intercede for those that are affected by praying to the one who sets the boundaries of the oceans and who promised to give rain in due season. You know, I often say that I think he's overdoing it this year. But, you know, but it's still a good excuse to give praise for what God is doing. It should never be a shopping list as we intercede. Rather, we're going into the Holy of Holies, as we read in the Bible, to the throne of grace on behalf of other people. And it's then that we find our great high priest, Jesus, who has opened up the way and, as we read in Hebrews, always lives to intercede for us. Have you ever gone through a time when lots of people were praying for you? Perhaps have a think about what difference it makes. As I was thinking about it, because I always ask myself the same question, when you know that people are praying for you in whatever situation you find yourself in, there's that feeling of being loved, of being comforted, that feeling of peace, feeling that someone bigger than you is in charge of the situation. And then we read that Jesus is praying for each one of us. How does that make you feel? How humbling does that make us feel? And then perhaps we can say, well, if Jesus is praying for us, can we see the answer to his prayers in our lives or in the lives of our church? And as I said before, if we're asked to pray for someone or we use those words, I'll pray for you. And then you get home and you think, whoa, where do I start? But then we read in Romans 8, verse 26, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And so isn't that a blessing to think that even when our words just won't come out, that we need the Holy Spirit to guide us in our prayers. We are qualified to pray by Holy Spirit power. Jesus spends a lot of time, as we read through, and I'd urge you to read it through slowly later, as we read through John 17, stating what the situation is. And we sometimes ask the question, well, why do we need to do that if God already knows everything? God knows, why am I wasting my breath telling him? But God loves to hear our voice. He loves to be able to talk to us back through what we see. Seeing the world as God sees it. Seeing the situations as God sees them. Seeing one another as God sees us. We're urged to pray for those who are in authority, Paul says to Timothy. But how do we pray for those that we don't actually know personally? Or perhaps we're reliant on what social media tells us about different people. That's not a good place to start praying. And then we read in James that prayer, the prayer of a righteous person is both powerful and effective. Each one of us comes to God as sinful people. But we come and repentance, knowing that we will get forgiveness. We need an attitude of humility, that we are aware of who we are, but actually we don't stay that way. Because through our Lord Jesus Christ, in Jesus' name, we are clean and we can come and God will hear us. When I think about my prayer list, how many people do we know, each one of us? Some of us maybe it may be tens, some of us it may be hundreds. But are we daunted by the thought of praying for some of them or even any of them? I always say it's good to get organised. That's why I said at the beginning, who's got a prayer list? Who relies on their brain? I personally have to keep a notebook of people I'm praying for. And sometimes we like to pray for people on a daily basis. Depends on who they are. Others, we might just be once a week. But it's good to sit before God with a pen or a pencil and ask him to guide us in our prayers. Because as we start in that attitude that Jesus started, either on the Our Father or going through the situation and the attributes of God, it's those lessons that will inspire us and motivate our prayers. As we learn of the faithfulness and the love of God, that we will want to pray for those attitudes into the lives of those whom we love. It can be so comforting to know that people are praying for us. It can change things and transform things completely to remember that our Lord Jesus Christ, who is seated at the Father's right hand, is still interceding for each one of us now. He knows all our weaknesses. He knows all our failures. He knows when we've let him down and that we've not prayed for others as much as we could because we've lost our list or we've forgotten. But we can be restored and can begin to see in our own lives the answers to his prayers for each one of us. So I urge us again today that we would commit to pray so as to make our hearts ready to experience the love of God in Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit, and to pray as to align our requests with God's will so that we can pray, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Amen. So I want us to sing number 806, just to keep our minds focused on what God wants us to pray for before we have a time of prayer.
Oh.
I thought this morning, because I know that it's weighing heavy on all of our hearts, the situation in Israel and in Gaza. And I know that it's a complex situation if we go back through history. But I think the events of October the 7th, when the fighters from Hamas entered Israel and caused the destruction that they did, affected each and every one of us. And as we see now the events unfolding, not just in those two lands, but the chances of other nations getting involved in the war, I think it's essential that we come to God in prayer. And I don't know if everyone now knows where Gaza is, if you didn't before, a small strip of land that's been contested over so many years. And as we even hear the headlines this morning, that Israel is still telling the people to leave the land because they're going to inflict violence more than they've ever done before. It makes our hearts weep, doesn't it? And I always say, if it makes our hearts weep, you can imagine what God is thinking and feeling. We know that there's been thousands killed. Numbers vary between 4,500 and 5,000. And 1 million plus people have been displaced. And then you sort of think to yourself, well, how do I pray into that situation? The world is almost holding its breath, isn't it, to see what happens next. And I know there are other wars and other conflicts and other disasters going on in other places. And as I say, 2 years ago when I preached on John 17, we were praying for Ukraine, and we still continue to do. But today I want us just to focus on the events in Israel and in Gaza. And I'm using the open doors prayer ideas. So I always say, if you don't know what to pray yourself, there's stuff out there, use it. And what I want to do is just go through each one, and I would invite people to pray openly if you want to. Perhaps speak up so that those on Zoom can hear us. And then as I go through each one, just add your amen at the end to say that you are in agreement. But as I say, I will say what we're praying for, explain it for a little bit, and then just leave a time that people can add their prayers and to say that they are in agreement. So let's pray. And so we're first asked to pray for the Israeli families who mourn for loved ones who were killed or taken hostage. As we read of their feelings, so many of them are saying that they are in shock, that they're angry, that they are in mourning. And so as we bring our prayers, then we ask for those who mourn. And we pray to God that he would use that event to cause people to seek God. So let's pray.
Heavenly Father, we just bring the situation in Israel and Gaza to you. We pray for the families on both sides who have lost loved ones, Lord, through this tragic circumstance, Lord. And we just ask you, Lord, that you would move into this land and calm the situation. We just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Lord, in your word you say, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Mm. And Lord, we pray for your comfort for the people of Israel who are mourning their loved ones, and also, Lord, for those who are mourning those who have been taken hostage and don't know what's going to happen. Mm. Father God, have mercy, we pray, and bring your comfort. Help them to turn to you for hope in their need, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen.
We're asked to pray for the believers in Gaza who are caught in the middle of the conflict. Lord, as we see the pictures, we know that they are terrified of the military response from Israel, what it will mean to their own lives and their church communities. We know, Lord, that there are so many displaced. And so we continue to lift up our brothers and sisters in Gaza in the ongoing conflict. Let's continue to pray.
hit by a rocket launch, the Christians were sheltering there because they believed that this would be a safe place, and many families have lost loved ones in this situation. Just be with them as they mourn today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord, as we start our day waking up in a warm bed, we just have no idea how these people are coping. Lord, we come downstairs and we have a meal. Lord, we just don't know how these people are coping with being displaced, with constantly being in fear. Lord, we just ask that your love will surround them. Lord, so often we don't have the words that you know. Lord, come in peace. Amen.
We're asked to pray that somehow God will work through the situation to bring more people to him, and that people will be salt and light in their communities in both Gaza and in Israel, despite the violence and what's unfolded in front of them. Who prays that love and peace will prevail in their country, and that he asks for a prayer of protection over his family and homes, Lord, and I pray that protection over all of those, Lord, innocent people, that the war would end quickly and that the Lord would meet all their needs. We thank you for the aid convoys, Lord, that are getting in, but we know it's not enough. And he prays, Lord, especially at this time, that they can be light in the middle of the total darkness and reflect the light and love of Christ in Gaza. Amen. We're asked to pray for those that are driven out of their homes. Let's pray.
Lord, be with them, just help them. We pray for the aid to get through to them. And it's not just Israel, Syria, there are millions in camps where they've had to run from war, Lord. And this is happening all again in Israel and Gaza. We just lift this situation to your hands, that the aid agencies will be able to get help to these people. They have no clean water, no food. And we just pray that the aid agencies can actually do this, Lord, that they will be allowed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord, as we think of those driven out their homes, we pray for freedom for all those who have been taken captive, Lord, all those that have been taken away forcibly. Pray not only for them, Lord, but for their families as they wait for them. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Finally, we're asked to pray for peace.
Situation in Israel and Gaza may seem impossible to us. And by human standards, as we look in our human eyes, it's a disaster that will never change. But we are asked to think about the fact that we serve a God who is not bound by our human perspective, that he can bring about peace and the heart changes needed to stop the violence. So let's pray into that. praying for peace and a change of heart.
We know that you can change hearts. We know that from Paul, Lord, who was trying to kill the Christians at the start of his life. And then he had that revelation and you came into his heart and changed him. Lord, we ask all those that are angry and cross and wanting more revenge, Lord. Lord, come into their hearts. Give them peace and give them love, that they can see what they're doing to others, Lord. And Lord, encourage all of us to pray earnestly, because we know that where two or three are gathered, you hear our prayers. Lord, we just ask you to come. Amen.
Lord, we pray that the international community will work towards lasting peace in the Holy Land. We pray that the leaders, Lord, would make decisions that would be right for the people that they have that power over. Lord, you are bigger than each one of us. You are more loving than all of us. You want your way of peace. May our loving God bring this disaster to an end. Lord, I give thanks for the prayers that we've said, both spoken and unspoken. And I pray, Lord, that we would continue to pray into this situation, seeking your way and your will as we pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you. And so we'll sing number 624, Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated, Lord, to Thee. pray. Almighty God, by your Holy Spirit, you have made us one with your saints in heaven and on earth. Help us to see your presence burning in the hearts of others. Grant that we may be united in a fellowship of love and prayer. Give us the courage to pick up our cross and respond to the needs of the world. Give us the stamina to follow you, to be your hands and heart in the world. Enable us to witness to your grace and mercy. We pray all this through the love of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.